Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sweeney Murdy, Ed Coleman, Ricky Ricardo here. And already in Florida, it's not just the guys who want to get a head start on pitchers and catchers. It's the guys reporting on pitchers and catchers. A little south of where we will be in Fort Myers, where there's a lot of action and a lot of inaction all at the same time, where the Red Sox have spring training camp. And Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe, kind enough to give us a couple of minutes here on their situation right now. Pete, we got three on one here for you. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, fellas. How are you?
Good. So nothing really happening in the New England landscape sporting-wise. I mentioned to Eddie earlier that, you know, legions of families had to sit their kids down and explain to them the Super Bowl still gets played even when the Patriots aren't in it. And they're probably now telling them that, yeah, the Red Sox love a manager and don't get too attached to that Mookie Betts jersey.
Yeah, usually I come down here after the Patriots are in the Super Bowl and then everybody's ready for baseball and they're all excited about the Red Sox season. Now there's Tom Brady might be leaving and Mookie Betts might be leaving. The Red Sox don't have a manager and they're waiting to hear if MLB is going to cast aspersions on their 18 championships. So everything is really going well here for the Red Sox.
And you've got a phone attached to your body, I would assume, with the manager situation, Pete, and also with Mookie being imminent, as we hear.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been really like a crazy couple of weeks now since Alex Cora left the team, and they're going on now. I think it's 4 weeks that they haven't had a manager, and Mookie Betts trade is heating up over the last few days. It seems like, you know, all the evidence is that something's going to go down with this before the week is out with Betts. Could be the Dodgers, could be the Padres. They'll probably get some kind of major league talent in return, but certainly nobody on the level of Mookie Betts. I mean, there's only one of him, and I think, personally, outside of Mike Trout, you know, there's probably not a better outfielder in baseball, and he's certainly among the top four or five guys in the game when you look at all the things he can do. And for the Red Sox, a team like the Red Sox, with the resources that they have, to be in the position that they feel like they need to trade this guy is something I never thought we'd see.
Well, that's what I always thought. Pete, it's Ricky. What did Dombrowski leave behind there? What's the after effect, you know, of that era, of the Dave Dombrowski era? What kind of damage does he leave behind that's got to get fixed?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest problem. They spent a lot of money on David Price, who's got $30 million a year coming to him for three more years. They spent a lot of money on Nate Eovaldi. They spent a lot of money on J.D. Martinez. Those guys, you know, and especially in the case of Eovaldi and Price, were not healthy last year. They gave Chris Sale an extension a year ago at this time. He wasn't healthy for much of last year. So a lot of their money is tied up in starting pitching. A lot of their money is tied up in a DH, which is not ideal. And it's not that, you know, they're up against it again with the salary cap. They'd be going over for the fourth consecutive year if they did. There's a lot of penalties involved with that that aren't just financial. You lose draft picks. You lose access to international players. So they did win a championship under Dombrowski. That was what they wanted to do, obviously, but he also put them in a financial corner that they have to figure a way out.
Pete, am I correct in thinking that the Sale contract is really what's put them in this position more than any other? Because he was not healthy at the end of 18. They gave him the extension before the 19 season, and now you're kind of stuck on that deal. It would seem to me, as you mentioned, a team that has the resources of the Red Sox could still manage to think about re-signing Mookie Betts or at least playing this year out with him if the Sale contract didn't happen, because they didn't have to sign him at that time. He wasn't imminent of free agency.
No, he was a year away from free agency, and I thought at the time, you know, why not give it at least half a season and see him pitch before you make, you know, $145 million decision. He did pitch well for much of last year until he got hurt, and then that was it. We didn't see him again because they were out of contention and they weren't going to press it. But we still don't know. It won't be until spring training that we have any kind of sense of what his fastball is like. Does he still have that same slider? Is he going to be the Chris Sale that they signed, or this different version of Chris Sale that we saw at times last year? So it's, you know, they spent a lot of money in the most obvious ways. You know, they needed starting pitching. They went out and got Price and Sale. They needed a closer. They went out and got Craig Kimbrell. They needed a hitter. They went out and got J.D. Martinez. And now they're going to have to start doing things in less obvious ways. And that's why you bring in a guy like Chaim Bloom, who was trained under that Tampa Bay method of kind of beating the bushes and looking for all the secondary guys and working trades and working the roster to try to be a good team. And the Rays have been a thorn in the side of the Yankees and the Red Sox for a long time, and they're hoping Bloom can kind of bring some of that. Not that the Red Sox are going to cut their payroll dramatically, but just be more productive with the payroll that they have.
Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe, our guest, he's down in Florida and watching and waiting while the Red Sox will eventually do something. They're going to have to do something here, no question. They need a manager. We'll get to that in a second. But Boom and Andrew Friedman would have some relationship, obviously, from Tampa Bay, and maybe that gives the Dodgers the edge. I don't know, Pete, but I would think it would make sense to me that one edge they would have is they could assume a contract like David Price, which I imagine the Red Sox would like to divest themselves of. But at the same time, if they do, that's another pitcher that's gone from Boston, and they don't exactly have a lot of depth there.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that this trade could go down, and with both teams, with the Padres too. If they were to trade Price, I don't think either the Dodgers or the Padres are going to want to pay the full freight on him, the $31 million a year. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to pick up some of that. That's going to count against the cap. You're also not going to get as good of a package back in terms of prospects if you include Price, because they're doing you a favor by taking Price.
Sure.
So that's one possibility. The other possibility is just to trade Betts straight up. You would save $27 million there, which would take you under the salary cap threshold. And you would get better prospects back. You could get an Alex Verdugo. You could get one of the Dodgers' young starting pitchers. And that would put you in at least a position to be competitive this year. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly Verdugo is no Mookie Betts, but if you put Verdugo in the outfield, you still retain all your starting pitching. You've got a chance to, you know, at least contend for some kind of playoff spot, whether it's a wild card, if not the division. So, mm-hmm. And the Padres, from what we understand, want them to take Will Myers back, which I don't see how that helps the Red Sox at all. Right. So there's a lot of different ways that this could go. And the cleanest, I guess not easy is the word, but the cleanest way to do it is to trade Betts, lose $27 million, and get the best prospects back. Mm. Yeah.
Pete, it's a week from today or a week from tomorrow, pitchers and catchers report. When they get there, whose office are they going into?
Yeah, well, it's empty right now. I saw it today. So I don't know what the, you know, it's there's two guys on the staff right now. Ron Renneke, who's obviously got big league experience, he's the bench coach the last 2 years, and Carlos Stubblaz, who has a lot of minor league managerial experience, who's been the third base coach. They're both interested. They've both applied for the job. They're looking around a little bit. They talked to Mark Kotze, who's with Oakland. It doesn't appear it's going to be him. They're looking at one of the staff guys with Arizona, Luis Urieta, and there's a chance, I guess, it could be him. This is another thing, too, that they, I think, part of the reason that they're being so slow on this is they want that Major League report to come out, the MLB's report to come out, about what, if anything, the 2018 was guilty of, because it would be obviously a terrible thing for them to hire one of the internal guys and then have a report come out a couple days later that says they were involved in some kind of sign stealing.
It would be just like the Mets.
Yeah. That would never. You would never hire a manager, have to fire him before you manage the game. That would never happen, Pete.
So, they're trying to, you know, I think there's a lot. There's three things at play: trading bets, waiting for this report from MLB, and then trying to hire a manager all at the same time.
Wow.
You know, and you touched on it a minute ago, but, I mean, how come, you know, worst case scenario here as far as who they're trading away, how does the 2020 version stack up here? You're counting on some bounce backs, and you still have a lot of talented players, but you're counting on some bounce backs from Eovaldi and Sale as far as health and production. You know, what's the best case here you're talking about as far as what they're able to put on the field for this year?
You know, Sween, I looked at it today. They scored 901 runs last year, and obviously having Mookie Betts as your leadoff hitter had a lot to do with that. But Andrew Benintendi had a down season. Jackie Bradley had a down season. They didn't get a lot out of first base or second base. They feel like they can be better offensively. Christian Vasquez has taken a step forward, been a pretty good hitter as a catcher. They think Rafael Devers is on the verge of being, you know, if he's not already, an all-star kind of player. Xander Bogaerts is one of the best hitting shortstops in the game. If you get more out of Benintendi and you get more out of Bradley, you get some production from first base from Mitch Moreland and Michael Chavis, some of their other guys who they have. They could be, you know, they're probably not going to score 900 runs again, but they could be a team that scores well over 800 runs. And then it becomes a question of, can Sale give you 33 starts? Can Price give you 33 starts? And can Eovaldi give you at least 30 starts? to go along with Eduardo Rodriguez, then you've got a chance to, you know, I think certainly be competitive. You know, it might they're not going to have the powerhouse that they had a couple years ago, but they could certainly be a team that can contend.
This worked against the Mets a little bit, but they went and went with Luis Rojas as their manager and stayed within the organization, Pete, because time was up. You know, they were up against time, and it's even less now for the Red Sox. So how does that play into if you go outside the organization at this point in time? I understand the safe part of it, you know, that if the, you know, the commission's, commissioner's report comes down and you're worried about somebody that's, you know, on your roster, but at the same time, if you don't do that, you're going to have somebody outside the organization trying to put this all together in spring training in short time.
Yeah, trying to put it all together, and then I would imagine I would have to have the same coaches. It's not like they're going to be able to go out and hire coaches.
Exactly.
So, it's a very awkward thing. Somebody from outside the organization is obviously not going to know, you know, any of the players or how much of a relationship with any of those guys. Whether he knows any of the coaches, you know, he might know maybe some of them in passing, but probably not have, like, you know, long-standing relationships. So it's a very strange thing. And the other part of it that's going to be difficult, too, no matter who it is Alex Cora was an extremely popular manager. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a relationship on and off the field with almost every guy on that team. He had his family in the clubhouse. They were a team that hung out together. They got along extremely well. Nothing that happened last year, you know, was pinned on Alex. It was the health of the pitchers. And anybody was going to have a hard time replacing a guy like Alex Cora. And the fact that it went down like it did, and you know, certainly the Red Sox players didn't think that he was going to get caught up in this. But, you know, they could bring in almost anybody, and it's still going to be a difficult job.
Now, Petey, have we seen the last, unfortunately, maybe, of Petey, of Dustin Pedroia? And is Veritek have a shot at that job?
Well, no, I don't think. I think Veritek's got a chance of being on the coaching staff. I don't think he wants at this point to be the manager. He hasn't been a full time coach since he retired. He's kind of dabbled in different things throughout the organization. So for his, I think to figure it out for his family for the first part of it, and then to figure out if that's what he wants to do. I think he wants to spend some time as a coach, and then figure out if he wants to be a manager. So there's no indication at this point that it would be Veritek. And as for Pedroia, I had a story, I think it was about 10 days ago, that he suffered a setback with his knee, and it sounds like he's not going to be in a position, certainly in spring training, to compete for a job. And at some point, it seems like it's going to go the David Wright route, in that they're going to have to figure out a way to kind of wrap it up and you know, not necessarily, you know, certainly not going to be make everybody happy, but figure out a way to kind of gracefully, you know, get him off the roster and kind of let him get to the second part of his life. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Pete, I would think, we're talking to Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe, already in Fort Myers. Baseball spring training officially gets underway next week. Everybody's kind of trickling in now. And obviously, a lot of questions still revolving around the Red Sox. I would think before camps officially open is when Rob Manfred has to hand out this report about 2018. But Dave Dombrowski's already gone. Alex Cora's already gone. Is there an expectation there that there are going to be more pieces to this, or have the Red Sox almost preemptively taken care of the big things here?
Well, I think that there's two parts of this. When you look at the report about Arizona, they did come down heavily on Alex Cora, who was one of the coaches. So they could say one of the, you know, whoever it might be, if it is indeed anybody, they could say one of the coaches was involved in some kind of scheme to steal signs.
Right.
The other part of it is the Red Sox were specifically warned in 2017 not to use video or devices to steal signs. And they were given a small fine at the time. But the commissioner's office issued, a clarification to every team that you cannot do this. And if anybody does this from now on, you know, we're going to come down hard on you. They obviously came down very hard on the Astros with the $5 million fine and losing draft picks for 2 years. I think that's the big fear of the Red Sox, is that they could lose draft picks. Mm-hmm. And for a team that does not have a great farm system right now, they're rebuilding their farm system. That would be, I mean, it's not devastating, but it would be certainly set them back in what Chaim Bloom wants to accomplish if they don't have a first or second round draft pick for a couple of years.
Yeah, and I would think that's, you know, if that's the way they're going to go and just trade Mookie and get the best that you can, you're obviously going to want to, you know, maybe either get, you know, some picks or some people in the farm system too. You know,
yeah, that plays into it too. There's a lot of talk that if they think they're going to get penalized by losing draft picks, one way to make up for that would be to get some good players back from the Dodgers or the Padres.
Hey, look at it this way. Mitch Moreland is back, okay?
Yeah.
There you go. That's a start for you.
He actually was doing okay last year until he got hurt.
Yeah.
That's what happens when Mitch Moreland gets hurt.
Right.
So exactly. Are you allowed to sleep between now and whenever Mookie gets traded? Or what's happening now?
You know, Sunny, it's crazy, right? I have a column ready to go, and the guys who work in my office back in Boston are kind of like, if something comes down, like, they have instructions just like wake us up. So, I'm hoping it doesn't come to that. And I've been calling people and texting people all day and trying to get ahead on this. But it sounds crazy to say because it's Mookie Betts, but it's almost become anticlimactic because it's been kicking around now for so long that it's almost just going to be a relief, I think, to Red Sox fans, just one way or another, have this over with.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, Pete, enjoyed it as always. Good luck down there, and we'll run into you during spring training, I'm assuming.
That sounds great. Thanks a lot, fellas.
Thanks, Pete.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.